Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 224, part 1, Consolation. Today is Friday, December 9th, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Yes, I said my three S's. Smile, star, strong. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA.
What? I'm doing the podcast.
Oh, no. Where was I? Okay. I am coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikro Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, maybe you're a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. There's a lot of food here. Don't be shy. What you need to bring is a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify your household members. And bring extra bags. There's a lot of free bread outside. Okay. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where those of you who don't need food can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's Club. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. All right. Scripture links. Yes. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find some scripture links there that Pastor Paul uses within his message. I have gone to a lot of trouble to go find those links for you so you can have a private Bible study on your own. So be sure to check those out. And the month of December. Okay, here's the lineup for the podcast. Four messages, starting with In All Things, Consolation, Grower or Growee, Cry Out for Deliverance. And for New Year's, I'm going to give you January's just because I want to. Why is the name of the message? And why are we doing this podcast? Well, it's a lot of fun. And I hope you're getting something out of it. Like the meaning of life. I want to end December with just a special little conversation between Danny Rose and Tina Vitale, one of my favorites. Here goes. Danny Rose. My rabbi, Rabbi Pearlstein, used to say, we're all guilty in the eyes of God. Tina Vitale. Do you believe in God? Danny Rose. No, but I'm guilty over it. Danny Rose. It's very important to be guilty. I'm guilty all the time, and I never did anything. For all you guilt-ridden people out there, listen to Pastor Paul's every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. God bless you, and have a great month of December. And keep your gifts under $50.
Today's message is entitled Consolation. And so today let's enter into Philippians 2 and 1. If there be therefore any, now listen to that word any, any consolation in Christ, the direct object, if any comfort, hear it, if any love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, if there be any affectionate saying, if there be any compassion. I told a person the other day, listen, if you have anything to tell me of importance, for God's sake, I said, begin at the end. Begin at the good news. Begin at the book of Revelation. Don't go through a whole lot of tormenting till you get to my peace. I want to have consolation. Last night, should say early this morning, when I got this message, I mean truly got it in my spirit, I thought, did you ever think about how words and languages has changed since the time of the perfection in Eden? Now Adam wouldn't have understood the word consolation. Why? Because, you see, in the Garden of Eden, it couldn't be understood because there was no sorrow. And without sorrow, how can you console someone? Okay, now, let's say that you're a couple and you're in here today and you're just as happy as you can be. And so I come up and I say, I think you need consoling. Well, I say, what are you talking about? We don't need consoling. We're happy today. See? Now that's like me trying to make, oh, you're happy today, and I come up and I try to lie to you and say, you need consoling. What's wrong with you? I discern there's something wrong with you. How many know in this world you need a continual consoling? A continual uplifting in your spirit. And until people are born again, I'm talking about have received Christ as their personal Savior, they won't even know what I'm talking about. And they can go from church to church trying to find that, but the only consolation, my friends, is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no consolation outside of Christ. Don't look anywhere else for it. Don't look to it through a mate, through children, through a job, through money. Don't look for those things, because the only consolation you're going to receive is through Jesus. And if I found out one thing since I've been down here on the north side, my consolation, my prize, the high mark, the high calling, the prize, the race that I run this race for, that high prize, it's Christ. That is the consolation prize. More and more, we must get out. We must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, I believe our language has grown tremendously through many griefs and through many, many, many tribulations. We have a brand new vocabulary now. And it seems like every so many years, we have to have a brand new vocabulary for all the griefs and for all the sorrows that are coming on this planet. And people are saying all over, I am perplexed. I am beside myself. What is the answer to this problem? And they come up with a new word. Sometimes even in your spirit, you'll have to groan. Why? Because there's no word. Sometimes you'll be in the place of so-called rest, your own home. And you'll say, oh my God, if there be any consolation, where is the consolation to this? Lord, what words can I use to describe my sorrow? And then we have to say, hey, fella, look here. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort, if any love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, that's where you have to return. Are you hearing this message today? You have to return to Christ. And so, when man was driven out of the garden into the wide world, he needed new words to express himself. He had new feelings. And when we go through brand new sorrows, and you young people, look up here. You young people, when you go into your life and you experience new things in your life, you're going to have new words. And your mother probably will know those words. She'll know how to console you, for she's been through that thing. And so there is a certain amount of wisdom with age, sometimes. And so as we grow and we go through our life, we need new words. And so when Adam left, we need new words because we picked up hate along the way. We picked up bitter attitudes along the way. We picked up the root of rebellion, that bitter spirit along the way. And we had sorrow, and we had depression, and we had greed, and we had pride. And so we had to have new emotions came along with that, of course. And so we had to have new words. New desires came along, and so we had to have... See, we complicate things, don't we? So we got into lust, and we had to have new words, new excuse words, new fig leaf cover-up words. And so as evil increases in the end, the Bible will tell you, you're going to have new words. Star Wars. Iron Curtain. Unheard of before. Bamboo Curtain. Roommate. Unheard of things before. And they cause new problems. And we have to have new words. And so we go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And we got so many words now, we have to have computers. Did you ever think of that? Now we have computer language because we got so many words, we can't even speak them because we've fallen into so much sin. And the world is, a fellow asked me the other day, where do you think the world is going? I said, it's going to hell. Is that plain enough? The world, the Bible says, is headed towards hell. I'm not going to give you a whole lot of words. I'm not going to give you a complete Bible study from Genesis to Revelation. I'm just going to tell you very simply, the world is going to hell. And there's only one consolation, and that consolation being Christ Jesus, your Lord. Outside of that, there's no consoling factor. And more, we're going to have to turn ourselves over to the Lord and be obedient, friends, unto death. Friday, I asked a person sitting in the audience, several, and even the radio ministry, and that's why I put these up here. I said, have you had your death today? The Bible says, die daily. Now, I'll give you scriptures. I mean, don't shake your heads. I got scriptures for it. I live them. I die daily. Did you die today? Did you die to your anger? Did you die to critical attitudes? Did you die to that new language that you picked up along the way? Did you die to that scorning? The problem is we have to die daily. And so after eating, the Bible says, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, our knowledge therefore then increased. Well, then, so much so for our language also, right? We have to have a brand new lingo. Are you hearing this today? We ate from a tree we couldn't handle, and so we started to manipulate one another. Don't we manipulate one another? I saw a young couple, and I'm observant. I watch everything. It's my nature. Snoopy. And so, again, I was sitting in the cafe, and I put it to good use while I was slurping my coffee rather loudly. And I looked over, and there was a couple, and I could see that the boy was manipulating the girl. And it wasn't maybe 5 minutes later when he got done, I saw her start to manipulate him. With their brand new language that they picked up somewhere along the way. Body language, eye language, lip language, and they picked up a whole new lingo, and I watched them go back and forth and fence with one another. It all started at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we can't handle that. Sometimes we need to leave that alone. And I think there's a whole lot of learning, and I think people should be unlearning sometimes, because the Bible says, always learning and never coming to know Jesus Christ. Do you know where you'll meet Jesus Christ? In sorrow, in tribulation, in nakedness, and peril, and sword. Oh, but that's so negative. Why don't you just claim your way out? Why don't you just say that doesn't happen? It happens. We have to start to deal with reality. I'm sure, sister, whilst you was in the hospital, you had to deal with reality. Didn't you? You had to put yourself in the hands of the doctors, and you had to pray and say, Lord, have your own way. Well, he did have his own way. You're here today. Are you hearing this? Have your own way, Lord. And that's what we have to come to. Lord, have your own way. Do what you want to do. He's going to do it anyway. You claim it, people out there that are claiming all over, and you know, to lift up your arms and just praise and not do anything. That doesn't mean a thing. Those are empty praises. I did it for years. I evangelized and I ministered to groups, and I was a phony. So much of a phony, because I knew there were problems out there, and I would tell the people don't receive it. That's like when your boss comes up and says, you're fired. You say, I don't receive it. You still don't have a job. Let's start to be a little bit realistic in our ministry. Should we, please? Why has a Christian become so unrealistic? You are fired. I don't receive it. And they pick him up by his sweaty little armpits and throw him out. How many are hearing this? We've got to start to be real people in real situations. Now, you're working down here in a clothing store, right, Sue? Isn't that dealing with reality? Isn't it sometimes shocking? It is. Sometimes people hear me minister and they say, man, this man is shocking. I think we need more of Shakespeare and less of Shakespeare. I'm not going to try to rhyme things. I'm going to be to the point. These are the rules for your benefit. Say amen, somebody. Somebody has got to be the so-called bad guy in that everything is fine Christianity. The only thing fine is Jesus Christ. The only one we can give all the glory to is the Lord. Getting kind of quiet on the radio there. Don't turn me off. No, not until Christ Jesus could the word consolation be truly used. Outside of him, friends, there is no consolation. There is no comfort. There is no love. There's no fellowshipping of the Spirit of mercies. There's nothing outside of Christ. Have you ever seen someone in terrible torment? Maybe they've lost someone. Or maybe they've been jilted. You ever been around somebody that's been jilted? Huh? How many in here have been jilted in their life? Well, I was always being jilted. I fell in love with a teacher when I was about 12 years old, madly in love. She jilted me. Broke my little heart. But it was real to me. It was real. I was ready for marriage. She didn't even see me. I used to swell up and walk by, you know. Oh, man. It's like I didn't exist. No, we need consolation, folks. Consolation is the dew that drops from heaven upon the deserts of our hearts that are below. Continual consolation, I'm sure, whilst you're driving in your truck out there. You're driving down the road. There's every once in a while something that creeps in and you need a consoling word, and it comes from the Lord. Some scripture will come up that will give you consolation. You listening on a radio when you're laying awake at night all by yourself, you need consolation. Something that will come over and console you right in the middle of all those tears and all those fears and all those things that you have. Oh, yeah. And there's no consolation outside of Christ. I think it seems we are in constant need of consoling. I didn't say babying. Some people, now you babies that are on the radio, I didn't say we're going to baby you all the time. Don't call every 5 minutes. But I'm talking about your consolation has got to come from Christ. So many people, when they get married, they think that their mate is going to be the whole total answer. That's not true. That might be their whole total problem. Too realistic? Not scriptural? Prove it. Prove it by your life. No, I think true consolation to our hearts must be one of the choicest gifts of divine mercy. That consolation that comes right at the midnight hour. I mean, we need to know over and over and over and over again that we are forgiven. See, I think we are habitual screw-ups, okay? How many know we're habitual screw-ups? Do you ever promise yourself you're going to have a great day? Oh, today I'm going to be so holy and I'm going to be so right with God and I'm not going to get mad at anybody and I'm just going to be honey-lipped and sweet and kind and I'm going to pray. I claim it in the name of Jesus. Then we go out in our pride and we go out and we're just going to be all sweet and somebody blows a horn. You got... honk your horn if you love Jesus on the back of your bumper. You forgot all about it. You get out swinging. No, what happens after that? You need consolation after you do that. After you screw up. But we don't want to admit that we screwed up, do we? So we try to blame it on a lot of people. And there we get into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We crawl way up in its branches. You did it. They made me this way. They did it. There's another Christian on there sawing a limb off. Oh, come on. Be realistic. Get down to the nitty gritty, like they say down here. Now there's a whole new language down here. I'm catching on. Say amen, somebody. And some people don't even want to venture into this area. I don't understand. I can't understand the people. Well, they don't understand you either. How many are hearing this message on consolation today? No, it's got to come from heaven. The one that ascended from heaven. You know, I'm talking about Jesus, the one that left here, the one that came here, the one that left here, the one that's up there, the one that's here in our hearts. And every consolation has been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Here we had communion today. But also remember, the Holy Spirit in this present dispensation is revealed to us as the Comforter. Can you imagine what it's going to be like after the rapture? Can you, for 1 minute, realize what it's going to be like right after the rapture? How many know what the rapture is in here? Do kids know what the rapture is? Okay, let me tell you what the rapture is. I don't know if it's going to come before or in the middle or at the end. I don't care. I know it's going to happen. There's going to come a time when Christ is going to, the trumpet will blow and all of us will leave here right in your body. It might even happen while you're sitting here today. Right in the middle of reaching for a lifesaver. Huh? Are you hearing this? Right in the middle of a whisper, where are we going to eat when we get out of here? It could happen any time. Sometime before all these things, Jesus said, I'll come. And he's going to take us away. And you know what? It's real close right now. You were down there. Did you see the people down there? Did you see the crowds down there the other day? Well, you weren't down there. You were there. Would you say that that was a sign? I would. There's another sign. People are coming to Christ. You don't have to get into a great big Bible study. You just walk up and the Spirit has prepared them to receive Jesus as their personal Savior. And will say, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? And not in a legalistic way. No, no. Well, I say, no, but I've heard of him. Well, it says in the Bible, if you'll, you know, confess it with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. Do you want to pray? Sure. Is that a sign? The world right now is looking for consolation. And so when people screw up, they're looking for consolation. How many know there's a lot of screw-ups out there in the Christian world? Oh, man. I mean, you're here, and we're all screw-ups, but if we recognize we're screw-ups, we're less of the screw-up than a person that doesn't realize they are a screw-up. Does that screw you up? Now, to recognize that you have a need for a continual consoling. Are you hearing this? Oh, yeah. Ooh, Jesus came, the Bible says, to lift up all those that are bowed down. Oh, I'm not bowed down. How many sometime, and I'll make it this whole year so you won't have to confess a recent bowing down. I mean, we hate to do that. How many have been bowed down and bowed low sometime this year? What did you need? You needed consolation. See, whatever the Holy Ghost may not be, he is evermore, the Bible says, the comforter of the church. He magnifies Jesus Christ. He doesn't shadow Christ, but reveals more of him to us. There is a more of a revealing of Jesus Christ in this end age than ever before. And how is Jesus being magnified? By your life. By you going to church? No, that's good, and that's swell. By you looking holy? By you lifting your arms up and then peeking to see who's watching your holy hands being up there? By going to seminars and to meetings and ever-learning places and running off to the tomb every 4 or 5 months? No, friends, the proof is in your life. And right now I'm seeing more and more the manifestation of Jesus Christ in people's lives. Even the world right now is manifesting Christ in their pity upon the poor. Let's call it pity, because that's what they do. They pity them. Even in some of the programs that they're trying to institute, there is a wooing and there is a calling of Christ. And so here we have the Holy Spirit, and for sure is the comforter, but Christ is the comfort. If there be any consolation, the Bible says. See, the Holy Spirit consoles, but Christ is the consolation. The Holy Spirit, in other words, is the physician, but Christ is the medicine. He heals the wound. But you see, it's the applying of the holy ointment of Christ's name and the grace of God that really does the healing. He takes, the Bible says, not of his own things, but of the things of Christ. Right now, while I'm preaching, you can store up in your storehouse what I'm preaching right now and use it later on in the evening or 10 years from now if we go that long. Maybe this word later on will console you, but you got to take it in first. First of all, you have to take the word in. You have to come with an open mind. I remember when I was going to school and I'd be sitting there and I'd be looking out the window and I'd be thinking about fishing or running down the railroad tracks or jumping in the Sioux River. I never got a thing out of that teaching. And the same is true right now. You here today, you listening on the radio. You have to take those things in. How can we be renewed daily without the Word dwelling in us? Are you hearing this message? No, we're not consoled today by new revelations. And there's so many people giving brand new revelations. Oh, I just had a revelation. It's right here. Every revelation you need about your life is right here in the Bible. Did you know that? You know what will give you more light on that thing? Is the Holy Spirit will give you light on the Word of God, and you'll have a brand new light and a bigger light focusing in on that which the Lord has already spoken. Don't look for a brand new revelation. There's so many false teachings coming up. Oh, I have a brand new revelation. And someone can get up and prophesy and empty out a church. Is that a revelation? Say amen, somebody. No. See, it's going to be defined in a more proficient way. God's light is going to reveal the old. It's going to become new. Say amen, someone. Don't look for a brand new revelation. The revelation has come. The revelation of Christ has already been. The revelation is he's been revealed to us. Don't look for a brand new definition. No, the gospel must be preached. Oh, but I know Jesus died on the cross and I know all that. Do you? There's a greater revelation that'll come to you. So let's look at three things this morning. Number one, to show how Christ in his varied positions is the consolation of the children of God in their varied trials. How many know you have trials? We got trouble. Trouble right down here in River City. You have to go looking for it. Secondly, to see that Christ in his unchanging nature is a consolation to the children of God in their continual sorrows. Oh, hey, you got them all the time. You wake up in the morning and, oh, my God, you don't know why, but they're there. What do you need in the morning? Biscuits? Cheerios? Snap, crackle, pop? What do you need in the morning? You need consolation. Just like a little one that gets out of bed, they're grumpy and mean. Huh? Did you ever wake a baby up? They don't want to get up? Or wake your kids up? It's time to get up and go to school. I heard you! Jimmy didn't get up. Go yell at him! Huh? What do they need in the morning? Consolation. What's consolation? Darling dear, it's time to get up. Mommy says. Mommy doesn't talk that way. Mommy says, get up! That's your consolation! I will console you with a paddling if you don't get out of that bed right now! And they're up and at him. That's consolation. That's reality. How many are hearing this? And so many times, people will get all guilted out. Yes, I guess I did speak rather harshly to my little one. Did you ever think about the way they spoke to you? God, leave me alone, huh? I wish I had another mom. You're a mean mom. My mother to that would say, you haven't seen nothing yet, Buster. Here I come. Freight train, roll on by. Woo! I was up in a hurry. Number three. We're going to dwell upon the question as to whether Christ is a consolation to us. Well, in plain English. If Christ a present and a available consolation for me, is he available for me right now? That's what I want to know. And so let's first look at Christ in his varied positions. He is a consolation when we have problems. Now, our Master's history is a, I think, varied and long and a very eventful one. But you know, every step of it yields an abundant comfort to the children of God if we follow him through. From the highest throne of glory to the cross of the deepest woe, follow him now. Follow. Are you listening? Are you following me as we follow Jesus? From the highest throne of glory to then the cross of the deepest woe and sorrow, and then up from the grave, and then up again to the throne of our Father. And you know, all the way through will be found the flowers of consolation for us to pick. All his paths, and listen to this verse, all his paths drop fatness. All of the garments which he wears in his different offices smell of myrrh and oils and cassia. Out of ivory palaces whereby he makes his people glad. And so let's start right back at Eden. Are you hearing this today? Come on now. The Great Fall. What's the Great Fall? Do you kids know what the Great Fall was? It's when Adam and Eve fell. You know, something here today. Praise the Lord that you came today. Praise the Lord you're listening on the radio today. There's a lot of people that don't know Christ as their personal Savior. Say amen, somebody. Don't we prepare for our children when they fall? Didn't God anticipate that we were going to fall way before we fell? He says, I knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. I prepared for your fall. There was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world was even founded. Christ Jesus, your Lord. I look in your medicine cabinet. Do you have things in there so if your children fall? Are you hearing this? Do you have Band-Aids, and do you have gauze, and do you have Mercurochrom, and do you have salve, and all those things? What are you preparing for? You're preparing for your child if they have a fall. It hasn't happened yet, but you're anticipating that they're going to have a fall. Are you hearing this? In your medicine cabinet, do you have those things? Do you have Band-Aids? Do you have ouchless Band-Aids? Of course. Why do you have them? Why did Mom buy those? Because she knew you were going to fall down. She knew you were going to do something and you'd fall down and hurt yourself. And it's the same way with the Lord. He anticipated our falls, and he's got a medicine cabinet full of things, consolation, words of consolation for you. Isn't that great? And so all the time we're sitting here, oh, I'm not going to fall. I'm feeling fine now. Hey, you never know. You could fall before you even leave here today. Are you hearing this? You could fall in your mind. You could have always in your mind. You could have something wrong in your spirit. Your soul can be hampered. But there's consolation. There's a comforter, the Holy Spirit, that magnifies Christ, the medicine. How many here? The medicine man. Talk about medicine men.
There you have it. That was part one, consolation. Be sure to listen to part two on Sunday. Have a good weekend. God bless you.
You got to move. Oh, when the Lord.